Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. My name is David. Obviously, I am not Travis. I'm taking over this episode and hopefully I can keep you guys as entertained and be as informative as possible. Today, we're going to be talking about rising student loan interest rates. They're going to be the highest they've been in a long time. They look very scary on paper, so we're going to be talking about who does this impact, who does this not impact, who needs to be afraid of it, and more importantly, who and why you shouldn't be afraid of it. We're going to talk about how student loan interest works in the first place, because student loans, as I'm sure the majority of our listeners know by now, work completely different than any other type of loan, right? It's not an auto loan, it's not a credit card. And even the way you decide to pay it off actually impacts how the interest works. Before I get into it, just a little bit about me. My name's David. I'm a student loan consultant for Student Loan Planner. I'm also a financial planner now for SLP Wealth, our financial planning firm side of things. Come from being a commercial real estate appraiser, and then I was a mortgage loan officer. I've done over 100 transactions. So I hope that I know a thing or two about how interest works, hopefully at least. And so I think I offer a really unique perspective on this subject. With that, let's get right into it. First, what are rates actually going to? This is the only part I'm actually just going to like read off verbatim for this whole podcast, just because I don't want to get the numbers wrong. Here's the scary statement, edge of your seat. Undergrad loans, they're rising from what was about 5.5% to now 6.53%. Most of our listeners are probably grad school borrowers, so it does actually get worse from their grad school. Rates are rising. They were 7.05%. Now they're going to be 8.08%. And then last but not least, Parent Plus borrowers. You know, I really do feel bad for a lot of the Parent Plus borrowers out there. I guess the government just doesn't like parents. I don't know. They were 8.05% already, and now they're going to go up to 9.08%. So nine, that's pretty scary. So for this, I'm just going to round these. Undergrad, 6.5. Grad, 8%. And Parent Plus borrowers, 9%, roughly. These are for the 2024 to 2025 academic year. Okay, let's talk about who does this impact, who does this not impact? Well, if you're done with school and you're in repayment, or you finished school a long time ago and you've been paying on your loans for years, if you're not a new borrower taking out new loans for this academic year, long story short, you're fine. The vast majority of rates now, at least over the past like decade, are fixed. So if, again, you're not a new borrower and you have fixed interest rates, this doesn't impact you. Now, that doesn't mean close out, keep on listing, because my bet is you probably don't know how your loan interest works anyway. And you're probably going to want to know, because before you just go ahead and use that bonus to pay your loans off traditionally, you might have a better use of that money. So stick around. We're going to figure out, for everybody's interest rates, how does loan interest work with student loans anyway? Because it does work different. Now, who does it impact? Well, you might have already guessed it. Anybody who's borrowing for the 2024-2025 academic year. So if you're, you know, going to school, right? If you're entering college, if you're in college, you need to borrow more for the next year, next semester, next quarter. Or if you're a Parent Plus borrower whose kid is going to school or in school, borrowing for new semesters or quarters, like, this does impact you. So I'll talk more about Parent Plus borrowers at the end, because with the Parent Plus double consolidation loophole closing, this does actually, you really have to strategize around this, basically. So again, we'll talk about that later, but that's who it does impact. That's who it doesn't impact. So let's talk about now, how the heck does student loan interest work in the first place? Because before we anyone decides to do anything in regards to, should I pay this off? Should I go for forgiveness? If I do pay it off, what if I have other debt? Should I prioritize that, right? Well, let's figure out again, how does student loan interest work? I'm actually going to try sharing my screen in a second, do some fancy math like Travis would in Excel. In my own words, student loan interest, and why you shouldn't be afraid of it, is simple interest. It doesn't compound typically. There are things that you can do to make it compound, but the vast majority of the time, we're talking simple interest. And what I mean by that is you'll notice in your loan portal that you'll have a balance, and part of that balance is principal, which is what you borrowed typically, and interest. It actually splits it up, right? It's not like a credit card where you just see one big balance. There's a principal portion of your balance and an interest portion of your balance. Simple interest means that interest only accrues on the principal balance. The interest doesn't accrue more interest. And so, again, what I mean by that is if you have 200,000 of a principal balance and your rate is 7%, let's say 7% of that 200 grand is 14,000. Okay, so now after 1 year, loan balance is total loan balance, principal plus interest is 214,000 if you never made a payment. Well, okay, fast forward another year, that 7%, it's not applied towards the 214,000. It's applied towards the 200,000, just whatever the principal balance is, not principal plus interest. That'd be very different than if the next year's interest accrual was based off of the total 214,000. And I think this is very good to see visually. And this is just, hey, simple interest, how student loans usually work. I'll talk about when it doesn't work this way and how student loan interest doesn't work. Something else I should say, this is how it works if we're going for payoff, if we're not going for forgiveness. If we're going for forgiveness, interest now means a whole other thing than how we would traditionally think about interest. I'll save that for next. Let's figure out how does interest work if we're going for payoff. Again, simple interest for the majority of the time, meaning let's say, for example, we're starting at 200,000 at a 7% rate, just to keep the math simple. 7% of 200 grand is 14,000. If it adds yearly, then hey, a 7% of 200,000 is 14,000. And so by next year, if we never made a payment, and this is just to show the interest accrual side, if you made a payment, then not the exact numbers change. So let's just keep it simple and assume no payments right now. We're just caring about how much interest accrues. 14,000, right? And then what happens the next year is, well, 7% of 200,000 is still 14,000. So there you go. Every single year, unless you do something to change that principal amount, the interest accumulated is just going to be 14,000 a year. Okay. Let's just say you held it for 20 years and never made a payment. That's the total balance after 20 years. Compounding interest. This is how credit cards work. And it's totally different. So that's why when you're trying to decide what type of debt to pay off, it's not just like, it's not about the interest rate. Well, at least it's not only about the interest rate. What type of debt you have really matters. And specifically, how does the interest work? If interest were to compound, and this is why you should be less afraid of student loan interest compared to something like a credit card, is because if the interest were to compound like a credit card, well, maybe the first year looks similar, right? 7% of 200,000 is still 14,000. Add that to the balance. There you go. But then after that, look, this number is almost $1,000 higher than this for the new total balance in the same year. And why is that? Well, the reason being is because now compounding interest, you're going to take 7%, you're going to add 7% to the balance, but it's 7% now of the new 214,000 balance. Ooh. So it's already $1,000 more from that, but compounding, the more time there is, the more compounding takes effect, and the more your money doubles upon doubles upon doubles upon doubles, right? The interest just keeps on adding upon that interest, and then you get the idea. And so to see it visually, what actually happens over the course of that 20 years, and just assuming we never make a payment, just so we can show the interest accrual. Yikes. Year 20, 723,000 and change total balance versus 466,000. So the total interest is 266,000 if we're talking simple interest, how student loans typically work, versus 523,000, almost double the amount of interest if this were to work as compounding interest. So don't be mega afraid of student loan interest. Yes, the rates matter, especially for paying them off, but it matters a whole heck of a lot less that it because it's simple versus compounding. Major difference. That's why credit cards are so dangerous, right? Because hey, this is just assuming the same 7% rate compounding. Imagine if this was 20%. This would be over a million. Either way, that's how it works. Again, typically, if we're paying these loans off and not going for forgiveness. Now, there are times where it can compound. If you're in forbearance, the interest will go straight into that principal portion. And therefore, the interest that's accruing next is going to be based off a higher principal. So, like, whenever you're in different types of forbearance, the interest can technically compound for that period of time. Whenever you change payment plans or consolidate, what happens is, or well, whenever you consolidate, there are different types of events that can make your interest, quote, capitalize. Whenever you hear that word in federal student loan world, what that means is, for example, of consolidation, when you consolidate, it will take the interest portion and add it to that principal portion. And again, whenever you raise that principal portion, now the new interest accrual is based off of that higher principal. And so, long story short, just to keep it simple for this pod, 99% of the time we're talking simple interest, and that's why you shouldn't be afraid. There are certain events that can happen that can make it the interest capitalized, and then technically it's compounding for that, but it's not capitalizing every single month. It's only capitalizing as one-time events depending on what you do with your loans. So again, not every year like this. Okay. So that's again why you might not want to be afraid of this. But that is if we're talking payoff. Well, one other thing I want to point out, because one huge pitfall that people make all the time, and I saw this in mortgage, I see it as a student loan consultant, is maybe you don't understand the difference between that simple and compounding interest. That difference works in your favor too. Meaning, when you go invest in your 401k, 403b, IRA, whatever, brokerage account, whenever you invest, especially with a long time horizon, 30 years, if you're young and you're investing for retirement, the interest that you make on your investments works like compounding interest, not simple interest. And so, what that means is, let's actually look back at this. Just staying in the realm of payoff, and then we're going to talk forgiveness. Staying in the realm of payoff, maybe you're a high earner, maybe you have 200 grand of student loans, but you make eight, five, six, 800 grand a year because you're a specialty surgeon, and maybe forgiveness is just not in the cards for you. And so you do have to pay this off one way or another. What a lot of people mistakenly do is, especially in those early years of high earning, they think it's frugal to pay the sucker off lump sum or just as fast as possible. And maybe they should be investing the difference. Now, what you should do, this is where get a professional, get a financial advisor. This is not specific financial advice, right? This is just a what if scenario. This is just for some of you guys to chew on, to think about, because not everyone should do this. But if you paid this sucker off lump sum, 200 grand, as opposed to holding it for 20 years, well, over 20 years, the most interest that would accrue on this is about 266,000. That's even if you made no payments, which technically you would be. Okay. So if the most interest you could save by aggressively paying this off is roughly 266,000, well, that might sound great, but what if, let's say, you took that 200,000 that you were willing to pay above and beyond your minimum monthly payments to get rid of this debt as fast as possible, didn't do that, threw it in 401ks, brokerage accounts, you name it, average, just throw it, get average stock market return. Let's say you never did anything else for the rest of your life investing. And let's invest over that course of 20 years, the same timeline. And again, let's just say average stock market return is between 8 and 12%, depending on how you account for inflation. So let's just put 10. Just to keep the math simple, and it's going to compound annually, let's say, that 200 grand that you invested is worth over 1.3 million. So that's over a 1.1 plus million dollar profit, right? Because you invested 200 and now it's worth 1.3 something. That's insane. The whole point of that, and why, again, you might not want to be so afraid of student loan interest, is even at a 7%, but you'd save 260,000 by paying the sucker off as fast as humanly possible. But you might be leaving $1.1 million of gains on the table by doing so. And so you're in the hole technically on that decision, 800 something grand, 900 something grand. And so this analysis does assume you're on the younger side, right? And you have at least 20 years of compounding. And so the younger you are, the more that difference, that opportunity cost increases, and the more money you might be leaving on the table by not taking advantage of compounding interest in your favor by paying off this as fast as possible, where again, you could use that money invested elsewhere. So I just wanted to show that to say, hey, don't be as scared of this as possible. Now, again, this isn't specific financial advice. Some people should pay this off as fast as possible or faster than 20 years. I don't want to beat a dead horse. This is, again, how it works if we're going for payoff. But what if we go for forgiveness? How does interest work in that case? Well, it depends on your income-driven repayment plan, actually, because are you doing save? Are you not doing save? Oh, are you going for a public service loan forgiveness, PSLF? That changes the name of the game. Long story short, if you're going for PSLF, and why you really shouldn't care about the interest rates, because if you're going for PSLF, interest rates literally don't matter at all. The reason being is because if And this is something we would do in a consult. If we conclude that going for PSLF makes more sense than paying it off because it saves 100 grand or whatever, well, then name of the game is to keep the payment as low as humanly possible, or as low as absolutely possible, while still being able to accumulate further PSLF credit. Any payment you make above the minimum doesn't get you further PSLF forgiveness credit. That means you're just tipping the government with any extra payment you make. Whereas in traditional payoff world, yes, if you make an extra payment, you save on the interest. But with PSLF, if you get your loans forgiven tax-free at the end of the tunnel, which is what PSLF guarantees, then your cost of repayment, all it was what did you pay along the way? Ooh, okay. So even if you're in a $0 per month payment and still getting credit towards PSLF in that along the entirety of your 10 years doing it, cool, the interest could be 100%. And maybe that means the balance balloons up to a million plus bucks. But if it all gets forgiven tax-free, then it didn't matter. Your cost was zero. And so if you're going for PSLF, all that is to show is that your interest rates really don't matter. The strategy is just pick the payment plan and tax filing strategy, and should you consolidate versus not, and all the stuff that we'd go over in a consult. Pick the right variables that result in the lowest monthly payment. And whether that's at a 10% rate or 0% rate, it doesn't matter. But what if you're not going for PSLF, but you are going for forgiveness, either the 20 or the 25-year timeline, right? Interest sort of matters, but again, last time I checked, my mortgage ain't going to get forgiven, right? And so when you're going for forgiveness, rates do just kind of mean something different. And let me show you what that is. And here's just a refresher of how all the plans work in IDR forgiveness world. It is totally different than if we're treating this like an auto loan or a mortgage, right? And so all these plans kind of work the same. It's based off of your income, has nothing to do with the rates or balance. That's what makes this so weird. So again, notice, if you're going for forgiveness and using an IDR plan, your payment doesn't have anything to do with the rate in the first place. So already, rate means less. But it's not going to be, and let's say for the example, you're single, not married, no kids, family size of one, just to keep the math simple. And let's say you make 100 grand a year salary. Cool. Payment's not going to be based off of that. It's going to be based off of that minus some version of the federal poverty line for that household size. And so we're going to take that. Let's just take Save, for example, because it's the newest plan. Save says we get to use 225% of whatever that number is. Okay. So we'll do that minus that times 2.25 for 225%. That's this person's income and save. Next step, all the plans work the same. They're just going to multiply that by some percent. Save is the only plan that cares whether these are undergrad versus grad loans. And that adjustment isn't happening until July anyway. So let's just assume, like the majority of our audience, that the majority or all of your loans are from grad school. Cool. Just keep it simple. 10%. Multiply that by 0.1 for 10%. That's per year. Divide that by 12. That's for 12 months in a year. That's this person's monthly payment and save. Okay. So again, I didn't say anything about rates or balance. So what if this person only had a $1,000 balance remaining? That payment's going to force them to pay the sucker off in 2 months. There is no forgiveness, even if they're 14 years into forgiveness. But what if you had a 300 grand loan balance at rates between 6 and 8%? At a 300 grand loan balance at rates between 6 and 8%, maybe the interest, if we were treating it this traditionally, would be 200, 2,000 plus grand. I don't know. It'd be some big number. Okay. And all these older plans that aren't saved, balance can go up over time. Doesn't have to, but it can. You can see how it's possible in any of these payment plans to be in a $0 per month payment or just something very low relative to the balance. If interest is accruing at 2 grand plus a month and your payment's a buck, your balance should go up by $19.99 per month. Yikes. That would be scary if we're not talking forgiveness. Save has this cool, weird thing where government's going to cover the difference, meaning if your payment, let's say, for example, was set to 200 and the interest should have been 800 for that month, government is moving forward. They're supposed to pay the difference, 600 bucks a month in that case, and therefore balance stays the same. Ah, okay. So what does this all mean as far as interest rates go? Well, if we're getting the whole thing forgiven, whatever the balance is at the end of the 20 or 25 years. If we're not in save, or if save goes away, that's a whole other rabbit hole. But if we're not in save, balance can go up. Doesn't have to, but it can if your payment's low enough. And so the higher rate is and the lower your monthly payment is, the quicker your balance could increase, which is terrible if you're going to eventually have to pay the sucker off. Then it would just be a negatively amortizing loan with a balloon payment at the end. But that's not what's going to happen. What happens is, since we're not doing PSLF, forgiveness isn't guaranteed to be tax-free, at least after 2025. So if they keep the tax bomb, meaning whatever you get forgiven in the year that forgiveness happens, they treat that as taxable income. If that happens, then higher the balance, higher the potential future tax bomb. For example, if you got 100 grand of loans forgiven 20 years from now, depending on what state you're in, depending on how much you make, maybe you owe at the end of that, again, depending on your marginal tax bracket, 20 grand, 30 grand lump sum to the government. That's if you made $0 in income. If you made more in income, maybe it's a higher tax bomb, right? And if you had a higher balance, 200 grand, double that. The point is, if they treat forgiveness as taxable income post-2025, then higher the balance, higher that potential future tax bomb. And so higher your interest rates, higher is that your balance could be in the future, and it does impact the cost of that potential future tax bomb. Save does negate some of that potential higher future tax bomb. It makes it so that long run, your balance can't go up over time. Now, we don't know if this is going to stick around for 20 plus years. That's a whole other podcast episode in and of itself. It's just to say that save does negate some of that potential future tax bomb. And it totally makes the interest rates even more wonky, because if you are in a $0 per month payment in save, therefore the government's covering 100% of your interest, technically your interest rate is zero. You're not paying any interest. Even in forgiveness world, where there is no interest accruing. And so it really is 0% interest. If the government's covering half of your interest, depending on what your payment's set to, then your effective interest rate, if it was 7%, is now 3.5%. But even then, if you are going for forgiveness at the end of the tunnel, that 3.5% effective interest rate just made your balance, it just impacts that potential future tax bomb, not the exact amount It's not dollar for dollar, you're paying that much more in interest. So this world, it gets complicated. The main takeaway there is just if you're going for forgiveness and if you're doing PSLF, the interest rates don't matter. If you're going for forgiveness but not doing PSLF, the interest rates sort of matter, but not in the same way as if you're paying the loan off in full. It can get really complicated. Like, do you consolidate? Should you specifically not consolidate? What the heck is this IDR waiver deadline that they now push to the end of June? And then, hey, if you're a Parent Plus borrower, do you need to do the double Parent Plus consolidation loophole? All these things we discuss in a consult, and we help determine, does it make sense to pay the sucker off? And if so, how should you prioritize that maybe with your other financial needs, wants, and goals, and maybe other debt versus does it save more money going for forgiveness? And if so, what are the 50 different choices between the payment plans, consolidating versus not, and tax filing status? All those combination and permutations, what saves you the most money and why? These are the things to think about. It's not necessarily the interest rate, right? Because with student loans, as you can see, interest just means a 20 different things. And so I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time. If you're still with me, I really appreciate it. So I'll start wrapping this up. One last thing I wanted to touch on, just looking at my notes here. Yes, again, this is my first pod solo, so I have notes. Been mostly improvising it though, so hopefully I did a good job. Is Parent Plus borrowers. This is not to fearmonger. It's just I am a little worried about our Parent Plus borrowers out there, specifically our newer ones. And the reason I bring that up is if you're a Parent Plus borrower and your child has already graduated and you've already had a consult with us, or you were able to do the Parent Plus consolidation loophole on your own, because just a reminder for all those who don't know, if you're a Parent Plus borrower and you don't do anything, you can't do an IDR plan for any of your Parent Plus loans. If you just consolidate them all lump sum, you can choose ICR, which is typically, not always, typically the worst one and is very expensive compared to pay, compared to new IBR, compared to save, right? And so what I'm worried about is that Parent Plus consolidation loophole, which allows a Parent Plus borrower to access the other payment plans that are more favorable, like save, like new IBR, like pay, that loophole is going away July of 2025. And so again, if you've already consulted with us and you're a Parent Plus borrower and your kid's already out of school and you were done taking out Parent Plus loans forever, then you're probably set. And if you're going for forgiveness, well, then again, these interest rates, whether they're 6% or 9%, it doesn't really impact you. The problem is with the loophole closing, a lot of Parent Plus borrowers will either be forced to do ICR or treat it like a traditional loan. And at 9%, that does get kind of scary. It's not, again, it's not compounded interest, but 9%, it is a huge cost. And those payments can get pretty darn high. And so, for the vast majority of people who aren't Parent Plus borrowers, yes, the higher rates matter if you're not going for PSLF, but depending on your strategy, it really doesn't. But for those Parent Plus borrowers, if you still have a kid in school, I would have a consult because, like, maybe it makes sense to do the double Parent Plus consolidation on some of these loans to get them treated on the save plan or a not ICR plan. That would make it more so that the rates don't matter. But then you have to factor in, well, do I have more borrowing to do, right? If you have more borrowing to do and you're not done borrowing yet for your child's education, you might miss the loophole deadline for a portion of your loans, right? And then what should you include in the loophole? What shouldn't you include in the loophole? What should you treat as traditional loans with that 9% rate versus treat it as forgiveness? It gets really complicated. And with the loophole closing, all that, and with the rate being 9%, again, a lot of Parent Plus borrowers are going to have to make some tougher calls. And I really suggest that if you're not an expert on knowing what the Parent Plus double consolidation loophole is, that you probably either need to do some more research or book a consult. We want to help as many people as possible. But I'll get off my soapbox on that. Final conclusions. Look, student loan interest, it's not compounding interest in most cases, right? It's simple interest unless you do something to make it capitalize, in which case, don't treat it like a credit card. Even if you're paying it off, you're going to want to figure out How should you prioritize that with your other debts versus buying a home versus saving for retirement? It's all complicated, but just know there are a lot of reasons not to be scared about your student loan interest. It doesn't compound typically. And if you're going for forgiveness, because that saves you more money than it doesn't, and many times it does. So you want to do the math on that and figure out if you should go for forgiveness or not, and how should you pursue it in the best way. And if you figure that out, then again, these interest rates, they don't mean the same thing as if you had a 9% rate on your mortgage. It's not the same thing, especially when we're talking forgiveness. So that's all I got. Thank you. If you're still listening to the end, kudos to you. Put in the comments that you are. If you have any questions, always feel free to reach out to us. If you want to book a consult, I'm sure there's going to be a link in the description, studentloanplanner.com. Look us up. And hope I did Travis justice, and maybe they'll let me do this again sometime on a different topic. Thanks.